broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 40. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. There's only a couple of people you see in our Gentile community in the Old Testament. They got saved. You remember Hiram? He helped them build the temple with some of the things. David and he were friends, and he said, "I'll help you out. Solomon is your building," and he got some preparations. And there was just a few. And some of those people that did get born again, like Naaman the captain. Remember Naaman? He had that leprosy. A little Jewish girl in slavery over there. And she said, "You got to go see Elijah." And Elijah said, "Listen, just go dip seven times." And he said, "I'm not doing that." But after he got up the seventh time, he was clean as a baby and his skin was brand new. And what you understand is that immediately he goes back to Elijah and says, "Let me do something for you." And he says, "Well, no, I'm not taking any money. The Lord's God, you take that knowledge with you." That was a Gentile getting saved. He said, "Well, let me take some of the dirt from this area and take it back so that I can pray and remember where my moorings are." Isn't that cool? That's just cool. What an idea. And so he did. And he asked also forgiveness if I have to go into the temple. This would be like a wife who has to go with her husband to a church she doesn't really believe in, but he's the leader and she goes in humbleness. But he asked if I have to go in there and I have to put my hand on my master as he prays before his gods. Can I be forgiven? And he said, "You'll be forgiven." You see, God's all about order. And God did always want to reach to the Gentiles. It just didn't happen a lot back in the Old Testament. So Jesus comes and Jesus takes care of it. He reaches now to the Gentiles more than to the Jews because the Gentiles receive it more quickly. He said, "I was found by them that did not seek me." You see, so he's looking. He says, "See, these people weren't looking, but as soon as I came around, they jumped on board with me." No, when you realize what God is telling us is that we're looking at a time where Israel is going to be born again as a nation. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation. It's going to be all about them. And when I told you, I see the children in trouble. I see Israel's in trouble. They're putting shots in each other and they're pushing it on themselves. This is like crazy. This is a people who is very much about not being oppressive. If you go up to the Maltz Museum, everything is about tolerance. But they won't tolerate in Israel right now people who won't take the shot. Isn't it weird that they've turned on themselves this darkness? And that tells me that Jesus is about ready to come. Because if you continue to push something on a people that can hurt them, and they're His people, then I think God has a little bit, as they say, the skin in the game kind of feel. Now, you know, Jesus came and He's coming, and that's what they're telling Him. He's coming in spite of all the devastations and all the upheavals. The true Israel is still there, and they will be redeemed and become a trophy of His grace throughout the millennial kingdom and into eternity. Romans chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "It is not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." What he's saying is, Jacob got a new name. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He's saying they're not all of Israel, not all of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had faith. They believed God. They took Him at His word. And every believer in the midst of the Jewish community that takes Jesus at His word are the Israel of God. He's not done with Israel. God has a plan for Israel. And that plan involves partially serving with Him from Jerusalem as the temple of all the world. In the next number of years, I believe, we're really close to the time when Jesus is going to come. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 23, He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." Well, where did He say that? Well, He said that in verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way." And so He came to them, and they saw that, and they heard Him, and they came around, and many of them repented. But it wasn't enough, because they really couldn't get their mind around the whole thing. But God did declare His covenantal intentions. He's still going to save them. Chapter 9 and verse 6 of the book of Romans as well goes on to say, "Neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all His children." It says, "But in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Isaac is the one who picked up the mantle. And everybody who picks up the mantle of Abraham gets to be saved when they trust as he did. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to them. Righteousness. Isn't that good? That's the seedling of what true salvation is all about. It's not about our good works because we don't have enough to ever save ourselves. I mean, one sin put him out of the garden, let's be honest. We're all sinners. The Bible says, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Romans 9:22 says, what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction, even so that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy? You know, God says, listen, you may push back and say, well, you know, nobody has a choice. It's all election. That's kind of the argument that's going on here. He says, no, I've always had a people that believe like Abraham and like Isaac and Jacob did. I've always had them. Always. Think of Joseph. He was one son. The other ones are all kind of out in the woods somewhere chasing butterflies. He's the only guy in the room. They throw him in a pit, kick him out of the family. Comes back around and saves all Israel from the Egyptian bondage that they find themselves in some years later. And what I'm saying is that God had a plan. And He says, listen, He was willing to endure with much long suffering the entire world's nonsense. All of the abortions in America. All of the immorality in America. All the human trafficking in the world. And America is the epicenter of much of these things. What I'm saying to you is that here we are looking at a world that God is enduring. He's enduring with long suffering. When do you think the curtain's going to fall? I told you, Israel, the children, those two things make a lot of sense to me. We're getting there. But comfort ye my people. Iniquity will be pardoned. Restoration will be afforded them. They will be born again in a day. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. The world is about ready to turn. And that's a good thing, because even though it's an upheaval, even though you got to make a mess to clean one up and straighten one out, it's worthy. It's worth it. It's going to be epic. It's going to be awesome. The Bible says He was willing, as it were, to endure with the vessels of wrath, meaning every single person in the world that did evil and was bent toward evil, and Jew and Gentile alike. He says He wanted to endure with all of that throughout history, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy. What that means is He's making it known to the principalities and the powers. He's illustrating to the angels His manifold wisdom. Ephesians 3:10 tells us that. It says, even upon us, Paul was a Jewish man, even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, He's writing to the Romans. But He says, even on us, all of us together. He made out of the two one new man. It's a good thing. Genesis tells us about this background that Abraham had. Genesis 18 says, and the Lord said, and this is talking about when He went down to destroy Sodom. The Bible says, and the Lord said to the companion angels that were with Him that day, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I shall do, destroying Sodom and Gomorrah? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. That's not really ever happened yet. That's going to happen. Okay, it's going to be a mighty nation. Going to be everybody say, "Hey, you're a Jew, right? I'm going to go with you because you're God's child. You know stuff I can never know. Can I talk to you and walk with you?" That's in the Bible. It says that's going to happen. It says they're going to be great. They're going to be all the earth's going to be blessed in them. He says, "For I know him. I know Abraham that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." In other words, all down through history, there would always be a remnant. You remember back in the Old Testament, Elijah, he was all fainty. He was like, "Lord, I'm the only one. Everybody, I'm the only guy in the room. We did the prophets of Baal thing, and man, Jezebel's coming after me. It just, nothing ever seems to move." Well, wait a minute. I'm here. He says, "No, I'm the only one." He says, "Elijah, come out to the door of this cave. What are you even doing here? But come out to the door." He says, "Listen," and he's passed an earthquake, a fire, and all this. He was not in that. He was in the still small voice. "What are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" That's how God speaks, in a small voice. He's not going to hit you with a hurricane and a typhoon necessarily and get your attention. He just says, "Listen, what are you doing here?" And Elijah put his face in his mantle and just wept. "I'm the only one." He says, "I have yet 7,000 that have not bent the knee to Baal." You got to be thinking with me, I don't know, where are they? You know, but nevertheless, he says, "I got 7,000 reserved." What is that? That's a remnant. Always been a remnant. Jesus said, "When he comes, will he even find the faith on the earth?" No, the Bible says, "Let this voice and this prepare the way of the Lord." It says in verse 4, of Isaiah 40, it says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places will be made plain. This is all right out of Revelation, right at the end. The millennium's going to dawn, and Jesus comes back and returns. The Bible says in chapter 16, it says the seventh angel poured out his bowl of wrath into the air, and there came a great voice from the temple saying, it is done. It says, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and it was a great earthquake. Not such an earthquake as since the world began, so great. And the Bible says in verse 20 of chapter 16, it says, and every island fled away. Listen. And the mountains were not found. Wow. He's going to tectonically change the world. Maybe those tectonic plates moved up, and now they're going to move back. After the flood, assuage the waters. After the return of Jesus, every mountain was not found. The Bible says in verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Oh, to whom? To Israel, because Israel's had a slight blindness going on, because it's been hard for them. And so when you get hard things, what happens is your heart becomes frustrated with all the hardness. I don't know about you, but this is a hard time for me at times. Sometimes worse than others, but I have to remind myself. I have to remind myself. Jesus is coming, and if He's coming, there's going to be upheaval. What did we think it was going to be like when the apostasy occurred and the time of the Antichrist was dawning and everything was coming into its own? What did we think it might look like for that people? Well, here we are. Okay. It looks kind of like this. And the people in this world are just running around thinking they're all saved because they know about Jesus. Knowing about Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. To know Jesus is to know what spirit you're of, and sometimes to know that it is not for us to take judgment into our own hands. And that's not to say that battles aren't fought and armies aren't raised. And it doesn't mean that there's not pushback from the Christian world. If there was not any of that, we would never had a revolution and had America at all. God says, you know, sell your cloak and buy a sword. You know, He told the soldiers, be content with your wages. He didn't say quit being a soldier, and they were Jewish. I'm just telling you, the Bible very clearly says there's a time of war and a time of peace. Time to be born and a time to die, a time to kill, time to heal. These are in the Scriptures. This is what it is, because the world's fraught with evil, and sometimes we become the battle axe of God to wipe out a Canaan land because they're dealing with bestiality and pedophilia. It was all over the place in that country. They were offering their children to fire. Why did God let Israel go in there and wipe out the Canaanites? Why didn't they leave them alone? Well, because there was all this nasty stuff. It literally was there to go back into the catalogs, all that they've done. They had incest. They had pedophilia. They had bestiality. They had it all. Kind of like America. Do you know in Ohio we had a law that was put on the books February of 2020 that said it was okay in 8 counties in Ohio to engage in bestiality? You can look it up. This is something that was brought to my attention about October of 2020, and there was a legislator who says we need to get this dealt with. I don't know if he ever did, but that was back 2020, February of 2020. 8 counties made it legal. Oh, is it? God doesn't care. God doesn't care that we've lost our way, that we're more vile than the animals, that our instincts aren't even enough to say there's a God in heaven and I should honor Him. But it's okay. Kill the babies. Kill the animals. Kill, 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 destroy. The Bible says that the devil comes only to still kill and destroy. And he's now doing that right out in the open. Say, well, that's awful. Well, what did he do to Canaan over that? There's not a lot of people out there repenting over this thing. I mean, this is a nationwide, a statewide, a community-wide kind of a grief. It's a wound that can't be healed by just standing up to tyrants. Tyrants are there because God lets them be there. Because we said we didn't need Him. If we knew Him, we would vote better and we would behave better.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.